Hello and welcome to another episode of Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Ben, and in this show I'll be chatting to thought leaders in the technology space about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify, or join us on Slack. Thanks and enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we have Richard Hiscutt, who is Head of Product at Lingumi. Welcome to the show, Richard. It's great to have you on.
Hey, yeah, thanks. Be excited to be here.
Cool, same. In a nutshell, could you give us a bit of insight into the app and the service Lingumi provides?
Sure. So Lingumi is a teaching platform, and at the moment we focus on teaching English to preschool children around the world. And we do that through technology, and that's our mission. We want to reach 500 million preschool children and teach them the critical skills through technology. And it's an incredibly exciting area to be in. We do it through, you know, we have live teachers who share their insights, share their ideas, guide the children. We use a lot of games, animations, sounds. And make it a joyful experience for the children to learn it. And some of the responses that we get from our children are incredible and have to be seen to be believed, because they put a smile on everyone's faces. And we find that in quite a few places, access to one-to-one English language learning for sure is quite expensive, as you can imagine, especially from an English speaker. And so Our product allows children of those ages to have the benefits of a native English speaker teaching them English in a really structured way, and do it in a way that is, you know, a lot cheaper, much more affordable for, you know, the everyday person. It gives them the same and even sometimes even better outcomes than a native one-to-one in-person teacher would.
Amazing. Could you give us a bit of insight into your role there and your personal career journey?
Sure. So I joined Lingumi about 3 months ago. So I've had one day in the office. And on that evening, my family went into quarantine. My youngest had a very mild cough. So by the time we came out of quarantine, the whole country is in lockdown. So I've been with the team for one day. And those 3 months have been incredible. So I'm head of product. I joined Lingumi. We just closed a Series A round, and you know, it was a small team who had, you know, done incredible work to find product market fit with the teaching platform. And from there, it's about how we scale that, how we make that more effective, how we can take that to different countries, how we can reach more people, how we can create better learning outcomes for our children. So my role is very much to come in to put in place the vision and the strategy to make that happen, and to build the team and the processes needed to scale it, you know, to the size that we want. And as I said, you know, at the start, kind of our mission is to positively impact 500 million children around the world. And so, you know, we've got some way to go, and that's an exciting challenge. And so my day to day tends to be very much focused on bringing that team together, growing us, and setting us up in that direction.
Amazing. How old is the app now?
So Lingumi, I believe Toby and Adit met around 2016. I think at the end of 2015. It actually started as a hardware startup, some learning cube characters that interacted with an app. So that was something that they met at Entrepreneur First, and that first product kind of did well, sold well in, you know, looking across Europe, primarily in Germany, but just didn't have the product market fit that I think they felt needed to scale it better. And so they pivoted slightly into being much more, you know, app focused, but using those characters within the app as a teaching mechanism and guides through the different lessons. So yeah, so nearly five years old. That's what's going on.
So you're saying the end goal is 500 million children to be positively impacted by the app and use the app. How do you prepare for that kind of scale?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a lot of work that we're doing right now, as you can imagine, around providing the framework that lets us achieve that. And also the thinking around, you know, what the, you know, the teaching strategy, the academic strategy is. So it's not just about, you know, reaching those 500 million children. It's about, you know, how we do it in a way that really gives them great learning outcomes. And so there's a lot of work that we're doing with teachers, with academic help, really, just to make sure that, you know, we align our courses to proper outcomes. That's a big part of it, exploring what those, you know, courses could be, how we could start to do teach them in different ways, how we can start to, you know, build repetition in the right places to take those children on the journeys. And then there's a huge, obviously, there's a huge technical challenge as well. There's a huge privacy challenge that we you know, we take very seriously, and we start privacy first and sort of move out from there. But all of those kind of pillars of the framework are kind of being put in place now. The team have done a fantastic job to get us where we are. I think, you know, in the last 6 months or so, I think we've had nearly 2 million English lessons in China, for instance.
Wow.
And so that's, you can see we're starting to already get scale, but if we want to hit our, you know, our mission, then, you know, we need to just make sure that what we build upon is really strong, really stable, and helps us get there in a good way.
Amazing. It's one of those things that could just snowball very, very quickly, couldn't it? So you do have to be prepared for that. I've been really curious to find out about how you go about testing the product, because it's for children of such a young age.
Well, I can tell you one thing, the tests are fun. Lots of the challenges around testing with small children, as you can imagine, especially small children who don't necessarily speak your language, after they're learning your language. So we rely a lot on parents right now.
Right.
We work very closely with the parents. Obviously, the parents have their own challenges and needs that we would want to solve as well. But by working closely with the parents, we are allowed to observe how a child, say, moves through a particular tool or a game, their reactions, their physical reactions.
Right.
As they get older and their ability to speak improves, then we can question them. We have local market teams who are exceptional, and they're so great at talking to our users, talking to our customers, you know, building that community, which is, you know, so important. And they help us, you know, we lean on them a lot as a product team, which is primarily based in the UK. To help us with that kind of, that interview, you know, posing those questions to the parents and to the children, and capturing the context of those answers. And I think that's probably our biggest challenge at the moment. It's not so much actually interviewing with kids, because do you know what? We love kids. We live in a world where, you know, all of our work is focused on children. And so we're kind of used to the craziness that children can bring to any situation. And so we embrace that. But the context, and capturing the context of how Lingumi is used in the home, how, you know, what's a parent's perception of Lingumi, you know, when it's used, why it's used, you know, who's... Now, the fundamental question is, who is the responsible for the device that's on at any one time? Is it the parent giving the device to the child? Is it the child asking for the device? And making sure that as a team, we understand how to switch the context of the product depending on who's viewing it, without really knowing for sure who's looking at the product at any one time. So our market teams, we like I said, we lean on them so much, and they help us so much with that. And just their understanding of the local communities and their problems sort of really help sort of fill in any gaps that we might have as a team.
I was just thinking back to when I was learning a language at school, and it was just so formal. I was learning French, and we had a really, really strict French teacher. Honestly, everyone was terrified of her, and it was so formal, and it just turns you off completely. So I just think, what you're doing, making it fun,
is such a great thing. And also, I've been reading that there's a kind of magic window of age preferable to learn a second language. Is that the age that you're targeting?
Yes. So this actually comes back to how the company was started in the first place. So Toby, one of the founders, I think he graduated from Oxford. He was studying modern language, and then after his year in work, he really focused down on sort of the ages, the preschool ages, because the brain is much more malleable. You know, we can do a lot more, we can absorb a lot more, and those the opportunity there at that age is huge. And while, you know, even as a slightly older child, you know, there's still that potential, there's still the opportunity to have impact. It really is the sort of the preschool years where we can make huge jumps. So that's why as a company, you know, really from day one, we focused on those early years and try to have that impact there. And it's the other side as well, is the compound benefit of learning a second language at such a young age means that you have more time, more opportunity to use it and practice it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, by the time you're a teenager even, you know, you could be incredible, fluent, and you have another thing that helps you in your life and in the world.
I just wish that I had this app when I was growing up.
It's funny, I was having this discussion with the product team, I think it was yesterday. There was a discussion about the word fun. So we have a product vision, and we had the word fun in there. And I think some of the members of the team felt that that could belittle maybe, you know, what we're trying to do. You know, what we're trying to do is something which is really important and valuable. Yeah. And does fun take it away? And I pushed back and said, well, if it's not fun, then it can be something that at least gets across the idea of enjoyment. Because what I don't want to do is a guiding principle for the product team, certainly, is take away anything which says, you know, the child must have a smile on their face. They must be enjoying this, because otherwise, like your French teacher, we could probably try and teach something just by repeating the same thing 100 times. And, you know, oh my goodness, can you imagine? Children would be bored stiff and wouldn't learn anything very fast at all. So I think that element of enjoyment and fun and how we bring it to life in the right way for the different ages, in, you know, our age groups are 2 to 6, which is, you know, it's tiny. So how we bring the idea of enjoyment and fun to a learning experience across those ages in the right way is a great challenge for the team. And so, yeah, we've made sure that we've kept that kind of that element of enjoyment in there.
I've noticed a lot of startups run into decision or solution paralysis, and it can massively hold the progression of a business back. Have you ever experienced this in your career?
Yeah, loads of times. So just to give you some context, so I've previously, before, you know, before Lingumi, I've started my digital agency, owned that, sold that. You know, I've worked across a couple of different products. My most recent one was in a large multinational product. And it was really there that I had the opportunity to work with some great people who really helped me to get better at moving past those kind of problems. So whereas before, a team may well be stuck debating a problem, debating, should we try this, should we try that? What's the benefits to that? What's the cost to that? How long is that going to take? And actually just wasting time on a debate, which, to be honest, everyone in the room is just making assumptions on how long something's going to be to build, making assumptions on, you know, what the impact is to the user. Does it even solve our problem? So started exploring and using frameworks like Teresa Torres's Opportunity Solution Tree, and using that to sort of widen the lens of our ideas. And what that does is suddenly you have so many different opportunities, you have so many different solutions, and they're all there. And if, as a team, you can continue to argue and debate over which ones we should try, you're missing out on all of this stuff that you could be doing. So rather than doing that, what I say to the team is, rather than discuss it, rather than argue it, try it. What can we learn cheaply, quickly, and today? What can we do that gives us some more understanding of what this solution is, and how can we put it in the hands of our users as quickly as possible in whatever way is relevant for that idea? So sometimes that could be you know, as simple as a few scribbles on a piece of paper that have been photoed on your phone, and just, you know, the prototype is a swipe through in your camera roll, to, you know, grabbing some components from a design library and just dropping them together. As long as the core value of an idea shines through in whatever that prototype is, put it in front of people and learn something. And reducing that time to learning means that you can quickly discard those ideas that, you know, you may not even need to have an argument over how feasible that is technically, or, you know, if it's going to take 6 weeks or 8 weeks, because you've just quickly proven, actually, there's no value to our user.
Yeah.
Let's focus again on this one. And that kind of helping the team be comfortable and encouraging the team to really embrace that way of thinking means that, you know, suddenly we can work through some really difficult problems that, you know, our parents or our learners will face. And we can start to explore the opportunities that make, you know, solve it in a way that makes them really excited, but also makes it, you know, viable for us as a business.
So it's okay to fail as long as you kind of fail quickly and learn something from it.
Yeah, so we don't aim to fail. I think a lot of people fail fast and sort of make it as a target. I need to fail. We certainly don't set out to fail. What we do is set out to learn. And sometimes that means that we learn very quickly. That idea was absolute nonsense. Let's never talk of it again. And sometimes we see some little bit of light in it, and we can iterate upon that, and we can test the extremes and see, is there really something here? And we can do it really fast.
How big is the tech team at Lingumi?
Well, so when I joined 3 months ago, I think we were about 10 people, and I think now we're about 35. So
wow.
We've been hiring throughout the lockdown. The product design and tech teams in particular have been really successful, and it's an awful situation for a lot of people. And unfortunately, a lot of people have found themselves being laid off. But the quality of candidates that we've had apply has been incredible. We've been so fortunate. And having conversations with such amazing people, as a hiring person, it's kind of that dream. You know, you have the talent pool there, which is, you know, whoever you choose is just going to be amazing. But it's also a bit of a nightmare because you've got to choose someone of this incredible bunch. I've been so lucky. I'm so proud and so excited by the people that, you know, we've brought on over the last few months. We're looking at Q3 as a starting point for really now moving forward. We've spent a bit of time looking at the product vision and getting things lined up. And there's some things that we also had to ship as well, which we'd made promises on. Now we're ready to just really go. And I'm so excited to see how this works with the team, how the team, you know, they're already gelling together.
So have you hired people based on the location where you are for the future of getting back in the office? Or are you doing a kind of Silicon Valley kind of thing now where you can just hire wherever they are in the world?
Well, that's an interesting question. We have hubs. So we were already a distributed team. Okay. So we have a team in China, a team in Singapore, London and Cardiff. And the product and design and tech teams, we're hiring mostly into London and Cardiff. We have a Singapore team where we are growing our platform and infra teams and our QA teams as well. But London and Cardiff are mostly for the product squads and they're kind of developing that kind of co-location. Even though we've been interviewing and hiring through lockdown, we've kept an eye on those kind of that hub idea. I mean, Lingumi, I'm told, because obviously I've only had one day in the office, but Lingumi was a work from home and work in the office kind of mixed anyway. So we will certainly be keeping that. But beyond that, I don't think that we will change too much. I think, like I say, we're quite relaxed, and we'll see how it goes. I think a lot of the team members, you know, we are a distributed company, and I think a lot of the team members enjoy that flexibility. I mean, certainly I do. I don't have a commute for the first time in who knows how long. I get to finish work and just go and play with my kids straight away, which is, you know, ace.
Perfect.
But at the same time, I really love being in the same room as different people and, you know, standing at a whiteboard and, you know, scribbling nonsense on it. And as a team going, yeah, well, that is nonsense. No, let's try this. And that kind of group dynamic together is something that personally I do miss in these times. So it's it will be a bit of a balancing act when we do actually return to offices.
It seems that Lingumi is such a collaborative business and everyone kind of chips in and works together and it's so creative. How has the pandemic affected that kind of moulding of creativity?
The team's incredible. It's one of the best teams that I've worked with. So, like I say, from day two, we were out of the office, for me, certainly, and then the company followed very quickly after. So put in place very quickly, really informal sessions, which is hard to make an informal session. But try and put in place those kind of things. We're just not going to talk about work. We have a coffee and a cake and just sit and talk, or just think back, celebrate the wins that we have and as a team, just chat. And I think that kind of building their relationships in that way is so important, not just to team working together, but for morale, for, keeping the company identity and company culture, center focus. I think that's so important. So we did that. We do lots of one-to-ones. We do lots of check-ins and try to really encourage our team members to be candid with us. If people are struggling, what can we do? We made it very clear that about expectations as a team or as a senior management team, that we obviously want people to carry on doing the best that they can, but we totally understand that working at home is not the same. Working at home in a lockdown is not the same as working from home in a normal situation. And so, if people need different times or need longer or need something else, then let us know. We'll do what we can. So if that's, we kitted out people's homes so that they've they're looking after themselves. And actually, and Lingumi is really good as well. Even before lockdown, we have a monthly well-being budget for each person. So each person gets £100 to spend on their mental health, their physical health, and there's no questions asked. So if you need a new pair of trainers, just go ahead, get them, put it, spend it on that budget, and start running. Get outside, enjoy yourself in the healthy sun. So we have that, and we also, as a company, and I think from pretty much day one, Adit and Toby have really believed in looking after people's mental health as well, and developing them in that way. So we have our own team coaches, and the team can drop in and out of sessions with a guy who kind of acts a bit like a coach, like a mentor, because he's separate from the business. They can talk freely and so he can give some advice and give them nudges where they feel they need it. So I think all those things together, working really hard as a team on this as well, and really focusing on this as a priority, I think we've been really, really lucky to see everyone comes together, everyone feels really happy. And you can certainly see it in the conversations that happen, not just between London and Cardiff, but between Singapore and China, and those relationships expand across all of the hubs.
That's amazing to see that you're so conscientious for all your employees. It's really important to be conscientious to individuals as well, which you're doing brilliantly. It must be such a rewarding business to work for because you can just see the positive response. How do you go about tracking and monitoring the success?
So there's the rather boring and expected normal data dashboards and insights, business things that we do as any other organization does. And of course we have that in place and we monitor those and we do work to make sure that every product health metric and KPI is fine. I say that one first because actually the most exciting one is you go onto something like Instagram and look at the Teacher Toby Challenge hashtag and you see kids just, like I said earlier, smiling, laughing, taking their first steps into speaking English. And actually you can see the development of the children who maybe they've been sharing stuff on Instagram or Little Red Book and countries in our community groups. And you see a child who started struggling to pronounce a particular word, a very simple word for a native speaker, but quite a challenging word when it's not. And then suddenly, over the space of a couple of months, they're talking in sentences. And then now we're starting to ask questions. And that that's because of stuff that we've done. And that's, you know, help giving the resources to the parents to help them encourage their children, providing this teaching platform for the children to interact with. That's great. But seeing their faces when they speak the language and talk is great. And actually, you'll see as well, if you do search on those kind of public social hashtags, our teachers, so at the moment we have one teacher, it's Teacher Toby. So Toby, our founder, took on the persona of Teacher Toby, and the kids absolutely love Teacher Toby. They would send him birthday wishes, they made him birthday cards. When lockdown happened in China and Italy, Teacher Toby recorded a simple song about washing your hands, and we have all these children singing this song back to us. And so, yes, we do have the data dashboards, and yes, of course, we have our user interviews, and we have the CS team. All of those, they all exist, and they all do great work for us. But the biggest thing is just seeing that those outcomes on the kids' faces, because it's incredible.
God, it must be amazing to see the direct response from actual individuals as well. It must be just so heartwarming. It's interesting that you have two ways to see how the app's doing in the real world, the data and the actual responses online. Because you're such a creative business, it's really nice to see that you don't just purely rely on the data that you get. Because I think sometimes businesses purely rely on the data and it stops them being creative in a way.
Yeah, I 100% believe that. We certainly, when I look to hire people, I want them to, I want people to be data savvy. I want to be able to understand what numbers mean and what they're looking at. If they look at particular dashboards or create their dashboards. But if the person in an interview process doesn't show almost a passion, almost an obsession for the problems that we could be solving for our users, and how we can talk to our users or put ideas in front of our users, if that isn't there, then I will see, I'll try and find someone else, because it's, for me, that is one of the most important ways for us as a international product to make the impact that we want to have. And we can absolutely get some of that way just on data alone, and the data layer is really important. But without that obsession on, what our users are actually doing, and it's the different groups of parents, the learners, and the teachers. If we don't obsess over that, then we're going to miss so many opportunities.
Yeah.
And, we will be a business, but we wouldn't necessarily be a great business. And that's what we want. We want to be great. We want to be great at doing this, because that means that we are actually, we become the world's best teaching platform. And that's where we want to get to.
I think to finish up on, say I was a recent graduate and wanted to get to or take a similar career path to yourself, what advice would you give?
So I started as design, digital design, and moved very quickly through, agency. Pretty much the whole of my career has been agency until only recently. And it's only really recently that I think I've really found a way of working that I am comfortable with and that I feel gets really good results. And that's what I was saying earlier about you learn by doing. Whatever you can do today to find out a little bit more, then do it. So if it's as simple as I said, writing out, on post-it notes, drawing a sequence of screens on post-it notes and put them in front of someone else, just someone, doesn't even need to be your direct user, just some feedback. Practice doing that, practice exploring, what you've learned and how can you iterate upon that idea. The other thing as well, so my previous role was at a company called Cookpad, which is one of those massive companies that you would never have heard of, but it's a 24-year-old company with 100 plus million users around the world. Yep. And the founder of that, a guy called Aki Sano, his focus was one of the most valuable things to learn, I think, because he would always challenge me and the team, if we wanted to test an idea, how can we focus purely on that idea, not the fluff around it, not the bells and whistles, but really actually get the core idea there, and how can we test that? If you can combine that kind of practice, that kind of thinking, that real focus, combine it with how you can learn fast and how you can iterate upon those learnings, anyone can do this. This isn't just a design thing. It isn't just a product thing. It can be done for anyone in anything. Like I said, I get excited when someone comes to an interview and says, we started down this path. We learned this by doing that, and it was all wrong. So we made the changes here. We iterated upon that. We found that this was the core value. If I see an interview, I sit up, I get excited, and I find out more. So that's what I'll say. Practice your focus, practice on reducing your time to learning.
Amazing advice. I was going to take an educated guess that you don't look for degrees when you hire.
I'm not so much interested in the past level, I suppose, of a degree. More about, I suppose, the institution that you're studying in, because that's sometimes that could be quite interesting. But what are you doing with the projects? And again, if your approach starts to be along the lines, as I've already said, then I will be sitting up. I'll be much more excited by you as a prospect than whether you got a first or not.
Yep.
So, yeah, absolutely. I want to see curiosity. I want to see passion. I want to see someone who just wants to learn, just wants to, you know, keep on making something better, but do it for a reason. And then that's the other side of it, I suppose I should say, is Lingumi and Cookpad before that, mission-focused companies, and having a real reason that will have real positive impact on people's lives, that's so powerful. So even if you were coming in and almost failing your course for one reason, but you were showing some great, you know, learnings, you had some skill around, you know, some flair around design, product management, whatever the area you're interested in, and you're doing it because you want to make a difference to people and their problems, I'm pretty much hiring you on the spot.
Well, that's amazing advice, and it's really inspiring as well. I think with tech, you do have to kind of live it and breathe it. There's no faking it. I mean, really, you have to do it for the right reasons, like you were saying. It's been unbelievably interesting and inspiring chatting to you and hearing about the app and behind the curtain of what goes on. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you. It's been really good. Really good fun.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed it, feel free to give us a follow on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify. See you next time.